America, and to all of our listeners all around the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host and most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Elogi and special guest, longtime Smashback contributor, Patrick Mifflin. He's in the house today.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually left the show, but life has just been life, which has kept me off of the... kept me out of activity for a good long time, but I've got nothing going on tonight. I'm here, so...
Yeah. If things are going the way they are, Teresa might end up be joining us a little later as well, so we'll actually have a full house for first time in a while. But this week's episode is for September 17th, 2022. And basically this week was the week of shenanigans, which, you know, makes up most weeks, but in this week in particular, it was a lot of shenanigans happening. We had some political shenanigans, including some senators who really just do not know how to read the room or to, you know, in any way sense what the national feeling is like. We have R. Kelly getting some more comeuppance. I really wish there was another word I could use that didn't involve the word come, but involving R. Kelly, but there we are.
He's almost become a verb at this point, hasn't he?
I think he is a verb now. Yeah. Like, ever since Dave Chappelle, he's basically been a verb. Brett Favre, turns out he's kind of a corrupt asshole. There were some shenanigans involving some asylum seekers from Venezuela that ended up getting shipped off. Under false pretenses to Martha's Vineyard, we'll be talking about that. And then, of course, we also have a bunch of other stuff, including the candidates for the National Toy Hall of Fame's 2022 class, and, of course, a bunch of entertainment news, including some of the stuff we found out from D23. We'll have all that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off, as always, we talk about all the shit we've been doing up to this week. As always, we'll start with Chris. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Not too much, really. Been dealing with hopefully our last bit of hot weather here. Last few days with temps in the 80s, but
yeah,
hopefully that'll be done pretty soon. But for watching stuff, I've finished Cobra Kai Season 5, which ends in a hell of a place. That wraps a bunch of stuff up. I don't think they have official confirmation for a season 6, but they left like one or two things open to that, which could be some fun stuff, or who knows, but we'll see. Let's see. Also been watching Bee and Puppy Cat on Netflix. This is an animated show that people may have seen maybe about 9-10 years ago, something like that. It was like a Kickstarter show, animated show, that some people have seen. I have not, but they have sort of remade it for Netflix. And it is about a girl named Bee who perpetually gets fired from every job she takes. And after this latest one, she is seemingly exhausted every potential avenue for a job in the unemployment database. She ends up just sort of while walking in the rain, making a wish for a cat to get a cat or something like that. And she ends up having this weird creature fall from the sky that is named Puppy Cat. That is kind of, she describes as like, looks like a cat, but smells like a dog. And that being the whole weird thing there. But they kind of have like slice of life adventures. There probably is some overarching thing happening. But that is a fun little thing. I've gotten through 3 episodes so far. Where she's going through this process of getting new jobs, but it's through this weird mystical computer called TempBot that literally like swallows them to send them to a planet where a job is at.
Mm-hmm.
Like their first one being a babysitting planet where it's just a giant baby head
mm-hmm.
that is like crying. The puppy cat can understand what the baby's saying, but B cannot. That's just weird. And then it turns into a giant demonic monster, and they work together to kill it
mm-hmm.
or something. I don't know. It's a very weird show, but I'm looking forward to watching more of it, but it's been a pretty fun little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, a finished Cuphead show.
Mm-hmm.
Ends pretty well, or sort of well. Probably sets up more episodes, but pretty solid show there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched one of the dumb movies that have been added to subscription services in the past mm-hmm. week or so. Moonfall, the new mm-hmm. Roland Emmerich movie. That is about what if there was some weird alien force that caused the moon to fall from its orbit
mm-hmm.
and potentially crash into the moon
mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. And it's very much full of what if all the crazy conspiracy people are correct about the mm-hmm. moon being what they call a megastructure.
Yeah.
So the moon would be somewhat hollow with like a dwarf star or something like that inside of it that powers it. And that it's been like watching humanity on Earth
mm-hmm.
something. And then there's this weird alien force that's trying to knock it out of orbit mm-hmm. for some reason. There's all this kind of weird shit. And it just, anytime it has a chance to do something very stupid, it takes that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Including like when they're trying to launch this spaceship as their like last ditch effort to try to fix whatever's going on with the moon. The moon comes by with a rogue gravity wave,
mm-hmm.
meaning like this water is like crashing into the spaceship as it's trying to mm-hmm. fly out, and gravity gets all fucking weird
mm-hmm.
and all this kind of stuff. It's very, very stupid
mm-hmm.
And worth checking out to experience all of that stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that. The other one was Morbius that got added to Netflix, and I'll
mm-hmm.
probably check it out at some point. But let's see, for games, been just playing more Rocket League, new season's going, been chipping in away at that on the Battle Pass there, so that's mostly it. And Steamroll Dig 2, I accidentally beat that on the Switch and decided to start playing it on PlayStation, the PlayStation 4 version.
Mm-hmm.
Still enjoying that a lot. It's just a good Metroidvania, but with all these sort of digging mechanics that were a big part of the original game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty much been it for me. How about you, Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa is now with us. She has joined us. Yeah, Teresa, tell us what you've been doing this week.
Well, I've been deciding that either I hate my body or my body hates me.
Yeah.
So I think I have partially dislocated my hip.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Couldn't mm-hmm. tell you how. seriously, no idea.
Yeah.
My guess is laying on my side too long after getting high and watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I think it is. If it's anything that I did or not just an accumulation of shit. Could be some stupid arthritis, who knows? But mm-hmm. Went to the dermatologist, got a little bit more hell, basically, mm-hmm. in the form of freezing things off my face. And then the, I don't know if it's liquid nitrogen. Anyway, it splashed on my eye.
Mm-hmm.
While he was freezing these things off of my nose. That was grand. so clearly, to get away from, you know, bullshit body problems, I've been playing some. I'm getting there with Endwalker. I'm in the very yes. beginning, man. I feel like I'm in chapter one, and chapter one is like 5 years long.
mm-hmm.
So
you got to remember everything they said leading up to the release of Endwalker. They're tying a bow on everything that has happened thus far.
Mm-hmm. They are. They are. And I'm
and they're going to get it all done in 6.0. They're like 6.1, 6.2. Those are not part of this story arc.
Mm-hmm.
They get it all done in 6.0.
Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking, okay, so it's like every time we have a new expansion, we've got some new bad thing to fight against. How about we have one where it's like the fucking Sims, where we're just like, you know, in a time of peace, and we're doing like the new deal or something. It's kind of an odd thought, but
that will be 6.2. They basically put Animal Crossing in Final Fantasy 14.
I was wondering if that's how that was going. So yeah,
that is what it is.
Been playing that. And I've also been like trying to slam as many episodes of The Great North as possible. Because for whatever dumb reason, it's going off of Hulu in like 7 days. So I really like that. I like Alanis Morissette's little cameos in there. But there's other things that I watch that get in the way. I discovered what we would call a mini series here in the U.S. I think over the pond, they just say that it's a one season drama. And so I think I watched like 10 hours or something of this, but it was called Little Dorrit. It's a Charles Dickens thing. If you guys want to watch it, sure, but I don't know that I recommend it for anybody except me because I'm that kind of weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy Serkis was great in it, which I started looking him up today, and he is like one of the top 10 all-time grossing actors in the world, and it's basically because he started Imaginarium with all the stop motion capture.
Yep.
So freaking cool, but also just a phenomenal actor in his own right. And then other than that, I've been keeping up with my usual shit, including Rings of Power, which, okay, we didn't watch last night, so don't tell me what happened. But it's so good, I've already started rewatching it, and we're only 3 episodes in. I know everybody else is giving the whatever the Game of Thrones one is a whole lot of lip service, but it was never my thing because I haven't read the books yet. So it's all about Rings of Power. And that's what I'm going to watch tomorrow as soon as we get done with breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much me this week.
All right, Patrick, what about you?
Oh, well, in the scope of since I've been gone, I turned 40 last year, and I was kind of dreading that because I felt like it was that's where I felt your life kind of settles into its end state. Your day-to-day is going to remain pretty much the same as everything slowly breaks down and turns beige. And I just had no interest in any of that. But honestly, 40 has been the best year of my life. At least in recent memory. I'm healthier. I weighed in at under 300 pounds for the first time since my 20s. I'm in a stable relationship that's actually helping me get my ambition and just my overall energy levels back to where they used to be. I'm at a point where I want to get back to podcasting. I want to get back to making YouTube content. I want to get back to streaming. It's just an unbelievable feeling that that everything is coming together so well at this point. And I'm just really interested in seeing where it goes. In more of a short term, Final Fantasy 14 has been pretty much all of my gaming for the last few months, with a few cups of coffee over in, say, Gran Turismo 7 or some older stuff over on the Xbox, because they had that last wave of backward compatibility releases, which was I was disappointed to find that it was going to be the last one, but there was a lot of good stuff in it. So that was definitely a thing. Ruby, I'm back to watching as far as what I'm watching on TV and stuff. Obviously, I talked about this on the show ages ago, where I started watching it and thought it was pretty good. since then I'd pretty much forgotten everything I watched, but I don't throw the word super fan around very often, but my girlfriend is definitely a Ruby super fan, if ever there was one. And so I'm getting back into watching it, and we're about halfway through season 6 right now, and yeah, I love it. I'm kind of at a loss at this point that Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle is all we've seen of the IP in fighting game form, because it's the kind of thing that's really perfectly geared toward it. And I know that Toshimichi Mori over at Arc System Works wants to do a dedicated Ruby fighting game, so hopefully he gets his wish someday. Because this is just, if there was a made-to-order IP for that genre, this would be it.
Yeah, that show is probably like one of the first like indie YouTube animation series that really took off.
Oh, it's absolutely a success story. Absolutely. And I've actually been watching the anime spinoff as well, Ice Queendom. In the scope of the main series, it would be considered a filler arc, but it definitely has a very good story to tell. And we're coming in on the last couple episodes of it. So hopefully they keep the anime pipeline rolling as well, because they're really doing a good job of it over in Japan with Studio Shaft. And I would hate for this to be the only story they get to tell with these characters, because they're doing a fantastic job. There's a lot of character deep diving going on. So if you haven't looked into that yet and you're interested in the IP, then definitely check that out, because it's kept me entertained for several weeks now. And generally, I'm just watching a lot more anime these days, like whether it's Ice Queendom or I watched the Fruits Basket remake. Well, not really remake so much as complete adaptation of the manga. We watched High Score Girl. That's really good if you haven't seen it. I watched the first season of it by myself, and then I watched the whole thing over again with Mio. And yeah, it's an awesome high school slice of life set in the 1990s arcade scene. And the author actually knows what the fuck they're talking about. So like, there's all kinds of nice little trivia, certain Easter eggs about games. When they get playing fighting games, they start talking about things like character matchups. Like, they did the research, and it probably wasn't even research. I would be surprised if the writer wasn't there for it. And so, absolutely, I recommend that. And obviously, TGS is going on right now, and we had the Nintendo Direct and the State of Play. If only more directs and states of play could be like the ones we just had.
Oh my God, right?
Like, it's been a long time since I've sat down and watched, whether it was a press conference, an online pre-recorded show, whatever. And I felt like that, like I felt when they had those shows back in the aughts, like it felt good. It felt good to be an owner of these systems. It felt good to be a gamer again. Can we please have more of that? And so I'm just feeling really good right now about the direction of the industry, about you know, the kind of games that are in the pipeline. I'm genuinely excited, and I haven't felt that way in a long time. So yeah, that's kind of the summary version of how things have been going for me.
All right.
How about you?
Most of my gaming time this past week has been taken up with something I cannot talk about just yet, because the embargo doesn't end until the 20th. So I have to stay mum on that one for right now, other than to say I'm really enjoying it. But other than that, I've been talking about the last few weeks about how I kind of went back down the J-Rock, rabbit hole, mostly because I started listening to X-Japan, and
yes,
that is a rabbit hole that you do not come back from.
Because, it will occupy you for quite some time.
Yeah. I mean, it helps, obviously, that they were, well, I say are, they still are around, minus a couple members, but they are a genuinely great band with a bunch of genuinely talented dudes involved in it.
Yeah, they just need to find a way to pass their latest album.
Yeah.
It's been stuck for a while.
Yeah, it's been in development hell for like a decade at this point. So obviously that's great, and that also led me to listening to some of Hide's solo work, which is also very good. I actually watched the concert they did at the Tokyo Dome in 1993, that one's very famous for a couple of different reasons. One is that they sort of ceremoniously execute the lead singer Toshi about midway through the concert, so that he, you know, puts his old giant tall hair look to rest with his, so that he comes back out with his more, a bit more subdued.
The look that Johnny was based on in Guilty Gear.
Yeah, basically. And then, of course, after that happens, Hide gets some solo time, which is famous for...
his finger stayed on, I don't know.
Yeah, which is famous for a couple of reasons. One is he is doing his own personal version of a ex-Japan song called Miscast, which is really cool because it's just him. He has a guitar, obviously. He also has another guitar that he's got on like a stand that he's using to get feedback. And it's amazing. And it's also because that part is, I guess, infamous for the fact that there's like this whole sort of build up to it where he's like in his dressing room with like a bunch of topless dancers around him. And it's weirdly narcissistic, but in a very wholesome and lovable way that was 100% Hide. But then I turned around and I started listening again to Malice Mizer, which is one of the, for those who don't know, Malice Mizer is the band that Gakko is from.
Yep.
He was actually their second singer. He was with them for two albums, and then like at
Writer Man himself.
Yeah. And then like at the height of their fame, I've heard conflicting reports about this. Some people say that he got like a really tempting solo deal from another record label. Some say that he just got sick of working with Mana because Mana was apparently a bit of a perfectionist and a slave driver. And I've also heard people just say that Gakko is just kind of a drama queen and he's kind of difficult to work with in general.
Would it surprise you if I believed all of those?
Yeah, I think there's probably hints of truth in all three of those stories. Because every other band project Gakko has tried to start up, it always falls apart. Whereas, you know, Manasama has basically, you know, he moved on to do his sort of solo work with Moi de Moi, which is pretty good. But I actually watched the concert they did that was in for the tour they did for Mravel. And that shit is amazing. Malice Mizer, like, I've watched some of Gakko's like actual concerts before, and he tends to pull out all the stops for everything he does. But you can definitely see all of that stuff when he was with Malice Mizer, because that show that's the famous show where he like came down like descended from the sky dressed as a fallen angel, and then at the end of the song he rises back up again. Yeah, that was him.
That whole drama queen thing that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually legitimately amazing to watch. Because, that was not, some new thing with Malice Mizer. They were always, super theatrical and stuff, from the very beginning. Other than that, I've also, been watching anime again. Especially Bastard, which is just... Oh, it's a fun one. it's based on one of my favorite manga of all time. It is it just warms my little nerd heart to watch it. And I've also been watching Shiki, which, funny enough, mentioning Gecto, he's actually one of the voice actors on that show. Yeah, Shiki is basically, it was written by Fuyumi Ono, you know, the person behind 12 Kingdoms. And it's basically sort of the story of Salem's Lot, but like dropped in the middle of rural Japan. It's really good. It's like, it's, if you love like a slow burn horror anime, it's absolutely perfect. But it's basically about a group of like vaguely sort of aristocratic looking vampires who decide to buy this really expensive looking Victorian villa on the edge of this little town in Japan where like the population is, you know, it's one of the, it's like, you know how Japan famously has a demographics crisis because of its rapidly aging population. Well,
yeah.
It's this little town is sort of an example of that because all the young people move away. So it's mostly made up of a lot of old folks. And then people start dying. Gee, I wonder why. Really, the only thing left is, well, asshole summer. It's upon us. Or upon me, anyway. It's been pretty nice this last couple of weeks. It's mostly been in the mid-80s. And then, starting Monday, it's going to shoot back up into the 90s for a couple of days before it finally goes back down sort of around until the beginning of October. And then it's going to start dropping down to like 80 in the mid-70s, and it's going to be nice. But you have to go through that first, a little bit first, because, that's what it's like living in the South.
You see, anyway. We didn't get asshole summer this year, because asshole summer is what you get when summer goes away for a few weeks and then another one kind of comes back.
Yeah.
Summer is still here. Mm-hmm. Like, the one that we've been dealing with since fucking June has not gone away yet, so we can't call it asshole summer. It's just, it's passed out and limp on the couch and not going anywhere.
Yeah, and then it's going to wake up with a massive hangover, and, well, you know what it's like all right, so that is pretty much everything. Does anybody want to add anything before I move on?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, well, then, it's just now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid, and, obviously, with TGS happening, a lot of people are talking about Street Fighter because, Street Fighter 6.
On the horizon.
Yeah, it's on the horizon. They put out the roster now. They put out a bunch of videos on YouTube about things like, you know, the overworld and all that stuff. And
so, closed beta coming early next month.
Yep. I wanted to talk a little bit, since that was the thing, about...
good thing I'm here.
Yeah. About one of the, shall we say, in the past, I've talked a bit about some of the, games that were either sort of, bootleg Street Fighter, like a...
Rainbow Edition.
Yeah, or...
Or you.
Yeah, or that unauthorized sequel to the Commodore 64 version of... Street Fighter 2, the first Street Fighter game. Trying to remember what it was called. Because I very distinctly remember it. We talked about it. Yeah,
is obscure.
Yeah, it is obscure. You had, like, the guys you fought against was, like a Cossack in the Soviet Union who used, like, a rifle as a melee weapon. There was a waiter that threw dishes at you. There was this one dude that you fought in the middle of Bavaria that looked like William Murderface, but blonde and with lederhosen. And yeah, it was that game. And then like the last boss was like this giant bald dude with like a rocket pack on his back. And you fight him in the middle of Beirut in Lebanon.
The 80s and 90s were fucking wild.
Yeah, especially when it comes to localization. And that's actually what we're fixing to talk about here, because the game we're talking about here was never officially a part of the Street Fighter world, but it kind of got involuntarily grandfathered in thanks to a little localization. I'm talking about Street Fighter 2010, The Final Fight.
Yes.
Okay, so where do we start with this? Okay, so First thing you have to know is that as a game, originally in its original Japanese form, it had absolutely nothing to do with Street Fighter. In fact, in Japan, it was called 2010 Street Fighter, and it had nothing to do with that other franchise they were working on, because it was still very much in its infancy then.
It was just a term that was getting thrown around a lot.
Yeah. Basically, in that game, you play as a guy named Kevin Strocker, or Kevin Stryka, as he's known in Japan, a cyborg policeman employed by the Galaxy Police to neutralize a breed of interplanetary supercriminals known as parasites, whose abilities are drastically improved over regular humans and aliens due to an armored parasitic insect that is implanted into their bodies. The scientist responsible for creating these organisms is called Dr. Jose, and uses them to turn people into parasites. Then he reveals that Kevin himself is actually a parasite creating by him, that he then used to infiltrate the Galaxy Police, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So it's a fairly standard side-scrolling action game of that platform game of that era. It's not terribly, you know,
it's not bad. It's not good. It kind of just is.
It's kind of mediocre.
It was worth a rental back then, and that was about it.
Yeah. And this was like on the NES, so, you know, those games were a dime a freaking dozen back then. So then it made its way over to North America, and by this point, Street Fighter II had come out, and it was huge. You know, it was taking the arcade world by storm. And so the localizers saw this.
We might make some money.
Yeah, the localizers looked at the title and was like, you know, oh, is this game is, you know, they got the name Street Fighter on it. What if we basically just completely tore the original story to shreds and came up with this idea of sort of inserting it into the Street Fighter lore, which at this point was still very much in its unsettled sort of amorphous stage where...
Even Final Fight was only kind of tangentially connected to it.
Yep. Which, by the way, Final Fight was originally supposed to be Street Fighter 89.
Yep. Yep.
So, here's what they came up with. The player takes control of Ken. Yes, and by Ken, I do, in fact, mean Ken Masters, a former martial arts champion who has been given cybernetic implants. The objective of each stage is to destroy the designated enemy target shown before the stage begins and obtain the energy required to open a transdimensional portal to the next stage. Some stages require the player to destroy more than one enemy to accumulate the energy needed to open the portal. After the portal is open, Ken only has a limited amount of time to enter it. Failure to do so will cause the player to lose a life, forcing the player to restart. Ken's projectiles will initially have a short range at the start of the game, but the player can uncover and pick up power-up capsules by destroying item containers scattered throughout each stage, you know, kind of Contra-like. He can also increase his power by up to 5 levels. Other power-ups include a backup option for added firepower and a flip shield capsule that will allow the player to damage enemies during flip jumps. Again, kind of like Contra. And the plot, they wrote, was as follows. In 2010, technology has advanced to the point that any person can easily travel from one planet to another through the use of interplanetary warp gates.
Ken, oh, they were fucking optimistic.
Oh, yeah. Ken has retired from his fighting career after winning the Street Fighter circuit 25 years before, which is... I don't remember. Did he ever actually win? Is there ever, like, a canonical winner of any of these Street Fighter tournaments?
Yeah, I think... I think Ken might have won during Street Fighter 3.
Yeah. Well, this was Street Fighter 2, so they were talking out of their... and, of course, this is also supposed to be him 25 years later. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, that is another thing. They might not be talking about the World Championships, because they're, in the storyline, there's also a U.S. Championship. And yeah. Ken is almost always the champion there.
All right. And has since become a gifted scientist, developing a new called cytoplasm that grants superhuman strength to any living organism that is administered. Yeah, Ken is certainly...
They were really fucking optimistic about his character, too.
Yeah, look at what he looks like now.
have you seen the storyline for that?
Yeah, the guy who ends up getting divorced because his wife is tired of his shit.
So there was the official character bios have come out since TGS started.
Yeah.
And there was like some sort of attempt to get him framed for corruption or something.
Yeah.
And he's having to lie low because of that.
Ah. Yeah, I got you. When Ken's lab partner Troy is murdered, left in a pile of gelatinous material, and the cytoplasm is stolen, Ken decided to bring Troy's killer to justice. He implants his body with bionics, and when an interdimensional transporter is in order to follow the killer's trail, who has left traces of cytoplasm in each of the planets on the frontier, which the killer has visited. While on the trail of Troy's killer, a mysterious entity begins to taunt Ken, warning Ken to cease his chase. As he gets closer to the killer, Ken begins to feel a strange pain in his body. The culprit is revealed to be Troy himself, who faked his death in order to steal the cytoplasm, spread it across the galaxy, and create an army of superhuman warriors loyal to him. Troy also revealed that the pain in Ken's body is actually being caused by a dose of cytoplasm, which he implanted into Ken while he was unconscious. After defeating Troy, Ken returns to Earth to contain the spread of cytoplasm, which has now become a global epidemic. Yeah. So, like I said, this game never had anything to do with Street Fighter originally.
They probably made so many bullshit sales on that it's not even funny.
Yeah. this is what it says on Wikipedia, and it's like no shit during the whole thing. The English localization of Street Fighter 2010 differs from the original Japanese release, changing the main character's identity and backstory in order to imply that he is the same Ken from the original Street Fighter, having retired from his martial arts career after winning the tournament. Other than the changes in the main character's identity and story, the game itself is otherwise identical between the two versions. GameSpot retroactively criticized the game's translated plotline of introducing Ken as a cyborg 25 years later in the future of the original Street Fighter, comparing it to the alterations to Dao Xin done for the Street Fighter movie. 1UP.com retrospectively described the game as a bastard offshoot of franchise and a nightmare of terrible localization. Attack retrospectively stated that while the game was incredibly difficult, it was not bad, and that if the game had not been marketed as a Street Fighter game, it most likely would have been ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the studio chat here, I just posted Ken's character bio for Street Fighter VI, as well as a win quote that Juri has against him, where she actually references him being a former champion. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
The jury is a fucking savage in this.
Oh, yeah, she is. I mean, God, look at the freaking introduction they did for her when they introduced her on YouTube. It's like, yeah, we know what her appeal is. And apparently Capcom does, too, because they went all in on it.
Yeah, Jamie really didn't seem to mind.
But yeah, so that was Street Fighter 2010, The Final Fight. It had nothing to do with the original Street Fighter or Street Fighter 2. It has the character that you play in that original game is not Ken at all. And now I'm starting to wonder if this is where they got the idea to turn Charlie into a cyborg.
I wouldn't be completely surprised at that.
Yeah. Oh, also, they made a comic book tie-in to this as well. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. And that's been.
Was this back when the Street Fighter IP, the comic properties were held by Malibu?
Yep.
I'll do my best to hide my astonishment.
Yeah. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay. With that out of the way, it is now time to start off, as we always do, for the show proper and the assholes of the week. And we got a few, so we'll try to go through a few of these. The first one is Lindsey Graham. And some select members of the Senate GOP who introduced a national 15-week abortion ban in the United States. Because they clearly cannot read the room.
Yeah, it's one of those signs of where they want to further bolster the Democrats' message about this stuff. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Other than just a threat of what they can do when they take power.
Mm-hmm.
And just give more and more women a reason to, you know, register to vote and make sure to keep as many Republicans out of office as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this had, because they knew this wasn't going to get anywhere right now.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer would not allow this to go any further. So,
yeah, it includes exceptions for rape, incest, and the health of the mother, but has not received the backing of any GOP leaders.
Yeah.
So,
like, as far as I know,
they like having a career.
Yeah. And as far as I know, the only people that are actually bringing this forward are Graham and his co-sponsor. So,
yeah,
this is more than anything a publicity stunt. And a waste of everybody's time, to be quite frank. But it's just, it's really just been a punchline more than anything. So, then of course our next asshole of the week is R. Kelly, because he has been convicted of several charges of child pornography and sex abuse in his federal trial in Chicago. And this, of course, is already adding to the very large prison sentence he's already received, so.
Yeah. I think there were 13 counts total.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up getting 3 counts of child pornography, 3 counts of child enticement.
Mm-hmm.
The jury acquitted him on a 4th pornography count, as well as a conspiracy to obstruct justice charge, mm-hmm. accusing him of fixing his state child pornography trial in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
He was found out guilty on all 3 counts of conspiring to receive child pornography,
mm-hmm.
and for 2 further enticement charges. His 2 co-defendants were found not guilty on all charges.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the conviction of just 1 count of child pornography carries a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years, while receipt of child pornography carries a mandatory minimum of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Judges can order that defendant sentenced earlier in separate cases, serve the new sentence simultaneous with or only after the first term is served.
Mm-hmm.
Federal inmates must serve at least 85% of their sentences.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 of those likely to be 30 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's 55. So
yeah,
that's going to be the majority of
the
rest
of his life. You can get comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for another asshole of the week, and this is just one of those examples where a person, you know, they look at other people and they all secretly believe that everyone else is as mean and cruel as they are. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, used state money to traffic legal migrants from Texas and Florida to Martha's Vineyard because he wanted to, you know, get, I don't know, own the libs or something. But they were actually welcomed and are being helped out. So the story goes is that these were people who had left Venezuela and were seeking asylum in the United States. And understand, when you are seeking asylum in the United States, you have to physically be on American soil in order for the process to begin.
Yeah.
And it takes time, which is why, you know, it takes a while for all of this to happen. So the story is kind of convoluted right now, but what it looks like is that either he or someone in his administration hired somebody to tell these people that they were going somewhere, put them on a plane, then landed them in the middle of Martha's Vineyard where they didn't know anyone. A lot of them barely spoke any English, and they ended up having to make their way to the town. Once word got out, the community kind of came together, got them some shelter. They made a bunch of meals for them. And then after they did some work, they asked if they would rather go to another place that, you know, had better facilities. So they're now at a army base in Cape Cod.
Yeah. The whole thing is that these flights started in San Antonio.
Yeah.
A number of migrants said their flight originated in San Antonio and that they were being transported to Boston, not Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
One flight took off from San Antonio, made a stop in Florida.
Yeah.
And then South Carolina before landing in Martha's Vineyard. The second flight also stopped in Florida, mm-hmm. but made another stop in Charlotte, North Carolina before landing in Martha's Vineyard. You know, spokesman for Greg Abbott said his office was not directly involved in these plans, which is sure.
Yeah.
You've just been focused on busing them, which is same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the big thing will be that they were apparently told something about like, oh, we need to take you somewhere so you can get your paperwork in order.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's probably lying about what you're doing is probably a great way to further escalate what's potential charges could be for this.
Yeah, because this sounds an awful lot like kidnapping.
Yep.
It really does.
Kidnapping and maybe even human trafficking.
Across state lines.
That's a felony.
Crime.
Yeah, that's a felony. So, yeah. And I think
you don't get to hold office if you commit one of those, do you?
Depends, I guess.
But also using state money to send people in your state and other states elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also probably not great.
Probably super unethical.
Yeah, if not potentially illegal.
Yeah.
Misappropriation of funds.
Yeah.
And yeah, but yeah, once they got to Martha's Vineyard, people heard about what was going on and they, you know, actually helped them out and all that.
You know what else? You know what Martha's Vineyard has a lot of? Lawyers.
Yeah.
And guess who just had a bunch of potential clients show up at their front door?
Yeah, witnesses and all that.
Yeah, there's going to be a nice big fat subpoena that's going to be delivered to the office of the governor. Probably sooner rather than later, because and then finally we have Brett Favre had a text message that revealed that the former Mississippi governor, Phil Bryant, used welfare funds for a volleyball stadium.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Yeah, there's ongoing civil lawsuit going on in Mississippi over the welfare scandal that has revealed that their former governor, Phil Bryant, pushed to, misappropriate funds towards these ideas Brett Favre had, things like this volleyball stadium, that Mississippi really needs. The text that they were showing off showed that then governor even guided Favre on how to write a funding proposal so that it could be accepted by the Mississippi Department of Human Services, even after Brian ousted the former welfare agency director, John Davis, for suspected fraud. That's a great thing to do after getting rid of somebody for fraud. Let's see. Yeah, just left Brett Favre. That's always how you address people in text. Brian texted nonprofit founder Nancy New. He's talking to somebody else. In July of 2019, within weeks of Davis' departure, can we help him with this project? We should meet soon to see how I can make sure we keep your projects on course. When Favre asked Brian how the new agency director might affect their plans to fund the volleyball stadium, he assured him, I will handle that. Long story, but had to make a change. But I'll call Nancy and see what it will take. And yeah, they worked together so the Bryant, Favre, New, Davis, and others worked together to channel at least $5 million of the state's welfare funds to build a new volleyball stadium at University of Southern Mississippi, where his Brett Favre's daughter played the sport. Favre received most of the credit for raising funds to construct the facility. And Bryant has for years denied any close involvement in the steering of welfare funds to the volleyball stadium. Though plans for the project even included naming the building after him. It's a good way to cover your tracks there, is just name buildings after you. This is one case of Brett Favre's text actually being used for good. Instead of when he's sending dick pics to women working on, football broadcasts. So there you go.
Yep. But fortunately, it's not all terrible because we also have some heroes of the week. Well, specifically, we have one hero of the week, and that is Yvon Chouinard, the billionaire founder and owner of Patagonia. Which, for those you don't know, Patagonia is a retail outlet that sells like outdoors clothing and accessories, who says that he is giving away the company's profits in perpetuity to fight climate change.
Yeah.
which is not, you know, this isn't out of character for this company. They do a lot of stuff like this.
Yeah, and it's one billionaire actually putting their money where their mouth is when they want to help. Though he's probably not a billionaire anymore since he's not in charge of this company. Or at least ownership of the company. But yeah, turned his passion for rock climbing to one of the world's most successful sportswear brands. Is giving the entire company to a uniquely structured trust and nonprofit designed to pump all of the company's profits into saving the planet. Yeah, as of now, Earth is our only shareholder. All profits in perpetuity will go to our mission to save our home planet. And yeah, he worked with his wife and two children, as well as teams of company lawyers, to create a structure that will allow Patagonia to continue to operate as a for-profit company whose proceeds will go to benefit environmental efforts. And so, yeah, there's one brand there, at least, you can feel better about supporting. Though, who knows how their stuff gets made. But, yeah, there's one good billionaire. Probably not a billionaire anymore, but there's one good one of them.
Yep.
Made a smart move that wasn't centered around.
Yeah.
Amassing as much money as they could.
Yeah. And then next up, so this might have been a story you may or may not have been up into a bit, because the media has been really kind of touchy on the subject, but there was going to be this nationwide rail worker strike that was fixing to happen. Probably
there's
as soon
no
as,
way the media was going to cover it.
Yeah, as probably as soon as Friday. Basically, what it was is that, well, basically a friend of mine said, you know, I asked him, okay, so what, why are they striking? He said three words, mandatory unpaid overtime.
Yeah,
that's a good reason.
Basically the reason why they're expected to work an extra 16 hours without pay, and they don't really get any sick days. If they do try to get sick days, they could lose their jobs. And basically, all the rail workers are like, you know, this is, they don't even treat dogs this way. You know, it's.
Yeah, they have like a 16-point process for going through to the point of a strike. And we got down to the last one, I think.
And then at the very last minute, there was a tentative deal that, that was put together by both by tentatively put together with the help of President Biden that helped save the U.S. from a nationwide rail worker strike. Now, it's important to say that doesn't mean the strike isn't still going to go on. It's held off for now because the union members have to vote on this.
Yeah.
And don't think that if they do go on strike that it's going to go clean, because there have been members of Congress already saying that they're getting legislation ready to make them striking illegal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Right now, it seems to have been held off, but we'll see how the union votes. But yeah, Chris?
Yeah, so the union members still have to vote to ratify the agreement before it's finalized, which will probably not be for at least a couple more weeks. The parties had been negotiating this contract without resolution for several years. We're facing a 12:01 a.m. Friday deadline at the end of a cooling-off period. Biden called into the talks at 9 p.m. Wednesday night to urge groups to be flexible, be creative, get a deal done. And at 2 a.m. Thursday, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh called to announce they had a deal. Yeah, already this week, freight rail companies had halted shipments of hazardous materials, including chlorine to water treatment plants and chemicals for fertilizers, not wanting those goods to be left unattended should a strike be called. Amtrak said in a statement that it is working to quickly restore canceled trains and reaching out to impacted customers to accommodate on first available departures. Yesterday, Amtrak announced that it was canceling all of its long-distance trains due to the threatened strike, so that'll be good for people that were hoping to get some trips in.
So, yeah, we'll see how this goes, but
hopefully well.
Yeah, hopefully well. Yeah.
Let people have time off. Fucking Christ.
Yeah.
And there's no way that the media is going to cover it, because this can only end in labor getting a fat W.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's so much of what is typical in the logistics industry overall, and that is running at about 80% employee population of what they should have.
Mm-hmm.
So just give more people jobs.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds really fucking easy, but apparently they just can't seem to make that leap there of, you know, maybe we get a little bit less in our paycheck and we hire enough people to do the fucking job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about CEOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that story is still ongoing. We will see how it ends up. Next up, credit card companies have developed a new merchant code for gun shops so that they can flag down suspicious sales.
Yeah. This week, credit card companies Visa, MasterCard, and American Express all said they would adopt a new code to categorize sales at gun shops,
mm-hmm.
Which will hopefully make it easier to flag suspicious gun sales. Which, yeah, all purchases made with a credit card are categorized with what's called a merchant code.
Mm-hmm.
A special code assigned to various types of businesses like utility companies, grocery stores, gas stations, airlines, hotels, and for years, gun shops have been categorized as miscellaneous retail or sporting goods stores.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this will mean that gun stores will now have a separate code. But yeah, the new policy, how it affects gun violence, will obviously be unclear because, you know, most of the people who buy guns don't do anything bad with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, trying to use that as part of the information for, you know, lining that up with, you know, background profiles for spousal abuse and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Will hopefully be a bit easier instead of just being surprised whenever it happens with somebody that's had a long history of abuse and threats and all that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully that'll help.
Yep. Yeah. And now we got some sports news. Owner of NBA's Phoenix Suns is banned for a year and fined $10 million for workplace harassment. Yeah.
Yeah. He owns the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA. Has been mm-hmm. suspended for 1 year, which means... let's see, cannot
you
be...
have to do some heinous shit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is not allowed, like, on any yeah, he can't be present at any NBA or WNBA team facility, attend or participate in any NBA or WNBA event or activity, including games, practices, business partner activity, represent the Suns or Mercury in any public or private capacity. He also has to complete a training program. Focus on respect and appropriate conduct in the workplace. As for the, and he like encouraged the NBA to do a investigation, independent investigation report that found this guy engaged in conduct that clearly violated common workplace standards. Let's see, on at least 5 occasions during his tenure with the Suns and Mercury, repeated the N-word when recounting the statements of others.
Mm-hmm.
I engaged in instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, made many sex-related comments in the workplace, made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female employees and other women, on several occasions engaged in inappropriate physical conduct towards male employees. He also engaged in demeaning and harsh treatment of employees, including yelling and cursing. There was probably other stuff as well. But those are sort of the main things. And yeah, there are definitely parts of the NBA players and ownership groups that think he shouldn't even be given this light a sentence. Should be mm-hmm. just removed immediately.
Yeah.
Forced to sell off his stake to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Committing one of those people is one of the minority owners for the Suns and Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
So that could just be somebody that wants a bigger stake.
Uh-huh.
But
how it usually goes.
Yeah. But yeah, that wouldn't be a huge surprise if they do end up going that way. If there are more things that are found, but
yeah,
for the time being, it's a pretty decent penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Though $10 million is probably nothing. If you own an one of the professional sports teams in one of the major leagues in the U.S. That team's worth at least a few billion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got plenty of money to pay a $10 million fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, for some more news from out of Australia. For the first time since 1936, a man has been killed by a kangaroo. Now, anybody who's ever actually seen kangaroos before knows that those are animals you don't fuck around with.
They got hands.
They got hands, and they've also got paws with razor-sharp claws on the end of them that can basically disembowel you with a single kick. That
and is they're totally jacked up. First.
Oh, yeah, like, they are.
They are muscular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like horses, you don't want to be behind them.
Yeah.
No.
They're just one of the many, many things native to Australia that is hostile to human life. But see, the thing is, the Australians are smart enough to keep their distance from these things most of the time. Or at the very least, they know what not to do when you're close to one of them.
Apparently not this time.
Yeah, apparently this dumbass was keeping one as a pet.
Oh.
They probably didn't like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Chris?
This is a 77-year-old man.
Uh-huh.
Whom a relative found in his home with serious injuries in semi-rural Redmond, which is 400 mm-hmm. kilometers or 250 miles southwest of the Western Australia state capital, Perth. I was believed he'd been attacked earlier in the day by the kangaroo, which police shot dead because it was preventing paramedics from reaching the injured man.
Mm. Oh, it was mad.
Uh-huh.
In case you're wondering how wild of an animal this thing can be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the kangaroo is posing an ongoing threat to emergency responders, so they mm-hmm. had to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably already going to be put down because it killed somebody, but
yeah,
the man died at the scene, and they're still preparing a report for a coroner who recorded an official cause to death. But yeah, they believe he had been keeping a wild kangaroo as a pet. Yeah, there are legal restrictions on keeping Australian native fauna as pets, but the police media office said Tuesday they had no information to make public regarding whether the victim had a permit. Mm. They talked to someone who cares for macropods at the Native Animal Rescue Service in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
Said authorities rarely issue permits to keep kangaroos in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like it was an adult male that became quite aggressive, and they don't do well in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, no shit.
Mm.
They're built to get around.
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole bunch of bad.
Yeah. Basically, the wildlife in Australia, you know, built to murder humans or too stupid to live. And there is no middle ground between any of them.
Yeah.
Remember, this is a country that went to war against a species of flightless bird, and the flightless bird won.
Yeah. No, I look at Australia as a preview of what an uninhabitable Earth would be like.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, it's slightly habitable. You know, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the 1936 killing was a man that was attacked by a kangaroo.
Yeah, it actually... yeah.
It was not kept in captivity as it seems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, he was trying to rescue his two dogs from a large kangaroo that was attacking them.
Mm-hmm. But, moving on from there, we're now firmly in the entertainment portion of the show. And our first story for that is the National Toy Hall of Fame has released its candidates for its 2022 class. And, yeah, there's definitely a bunch of these that, you will recognize and definitely know about.
We're entering the millennial phase of the hall. Because they don't have any sort of age restriction, but it has to be something that has, let's see here, look for four qualities.
The test of time.
Iconic status, enough longevity to be enjoyed by multiple different generations,
mm-hmm.
the sense that the toy fosters learning, creativity, or discovery, and some kind of innovation in play or toy design.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's bingo. Classic lottery game that dates back to the 1500s.
Uh-huh.
There's Nerf.
Yep, which is the original classic. Nerf ball, yeah.
There's the Pinata.
Yep.
I guess you could call that a game.
Well, Well, I mean, it's an old one. It's one of those.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Yeah.
Let's see. What are the other ones here? There's 12 of them. Let's see. Also includes Racco.
Yep.
The Spirograph.
Oh, I remember Brayer, that.
Brayer model horses.
Oh yeah, that was like the ultimate girl toy back in the day.
Yeah.
Catan, Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
Hell yeah.
That is a classic right there.
The game that introduced European style board games to the rest of the world and made those a much bigger thing.
Yeah, Settlers of Catan. So like other games,
your Monopoly bullshit here.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, Settlers of Catan. So we ended up getting other games like, you know, Diplomacy. I'm kind of blanking right now, but I know there are. But basically, yeah, that one too. Basically, games that were like they tended to revolve around like really kind of big, almost somewhat abstract subjects, and everybody sort of, you know, nobody really gets kicked out of the game prematurely. Everybody stays into the game until the very end, you know, unlike with, say, Monopoly, where...
I think of it as gameplay balance being introduced to the board game.
Yeah. And also there's a lot of, a lot of co-op play as well. Especially with Settlers of Catan, because you basically have to deal with resources in that game. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What else we
Let's
got?
See. The others, there's a lot from the 80s. Pound Puppies.
AKA the plush toys where they guilt trip you into buying them.
Yeah.
Because the whole sort of like subterfuge of that thing was that they're pound puppies. They're called pound puppies because they're in the pound. You know what'll happen to a pound puppy if you don't adopt one?
Yep.
Yeah. Toy line that later turned to TV specials and series and all that.
God, like all the other
worst
ones.
Cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Let's see. There's Masters of the Universe, including He-Man and She-Ra.
Yep.
The game Phase 10.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I don't... I probably have seen it. I've never played it. Let's see. In the Electric, Light Toy, Light Bright.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I remember Light Bright.
So many burns.
Which is
so
like
many burns.
If Lego was tied up to electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or light up.
Yeah.
As well as the ability to destroy your feet if you stepped on little pegs.
Oh, yeah. And to see a bunch of little pegs just straight up go missing.
Yeah.
Hope you like that pink one, because you will never see it again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Until your dog poops it out.
I also love how in those, like, commercials, they always show, you know, them, like, making, like, oh, it's a circus clown, or, oh, it's a horsey. No, we were just making a bunch of giant penises with Light Bright.
Yeah.
If you give people the means to draw, that's what will come out every time.
Yeah. That is the whole class here of candidates.
Yep.
But last year, the three inductees were American Girls Dolls, the board game Risk.
Yep, classic.
And Sand.
Sand.
Just Sand.
I mean,
think about it. All the generations of kids who played in a sandbox, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably not as much of a thing for backyards these days.
Nope, especially not where I live. Ants.
They could put drugs in there that you can't see.
Yeah.
Those people that like to spend lots of money on drugs and then give them out for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be careful, kids. They might hide a hypodermic needle in one of those.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so that was that. Next up, Keanu Reeves is returning for a sequel to the Constantine movie, but the HBO Max show has been canceled.
Yeah. Which is weird to go to Keanu Reeves other than, you know, that is a guy that will sell that movie.
Yeah.
And people generally like Constantine back in the day. But yeah, it's kind of weird, but this just seems like WB Discovery being like, what's a thing we can do with an actor people know?
Yeah.
And that qualifies, so.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of movies, Sony announced that there will be a new Karate Kid movie.
Yeah,
not sure how I feel about this.
Me
was
neither.
That inevitable?
Well, with the success of Cobra Kai, yeah, it kind of was.
Well, yeah, I thought they would just do everything through that moving forward.
Who knows? I don't think they've necessarily noted if this is going to be tied into the original Karate Kid lore, which is now a thing instead of just there being three movies that got progressively worse.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was also the remake that had Jackie Chan in, remember?
Yeah. That's all we know about it. Nobody's ever seen it.
No, except it takes place in Beijing.
Yeah, that's kind of the one thing set for coming out, let's see, June 7th, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I guess other Sony stuff they announced would be existing still is, let's see, there's the Madam Web movie that's still going. It's moving from October 6, 2023 to February 16, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a time that is definitely real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kraven the Hunter movie is shifting from supposedly also releasing on October 6, 2023 to January 13th, 2023. So moving way up.
Mm.
And then there's a movie you might not have heard about existing. There's a Garfield movie that has Chris Pratt as the voice of Garfield. Because that
I
makes
can
sense.
See that, actually.
Because he's not everything else.
Yeah, that's Memorial Day weekend in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Shifted back from February 16th, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's a lot of notable movies they moved there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. And then we also found out that Amazon ordered a sequel series for Blade Runner 2049.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Titled Blade Runner 2099.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no yep. plot details known just yet,
mm-hmm.
other than it's 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott is executive producing, and that's kind of really about it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, yeah.
And last but not least, we got a bunch of stuff from D23. For example, we got news about Captain America New World Order. Among other things, it's going to include Sabra, which is the Israeli superhero. And oh boy, people have concerns for very obvious reasons in just about every direction you can think of.
Yeah, it's an Israeli hero.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's like on its face, it's like, okay, it's Israeli superhero, that's fine.
And especially like an Israeli Jewish hero.
Yeah.
Because Israel's not all Jewish.
No.
It's divided up into four quadrants.
Yeah.
So there's a variety of people from there. There's the name itself.
Mm-hmm. New World Order, where you're involving a Jewish superhero. It's,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some unfortunate implications yeah. there.
To Israeli Jews, Sabra can be a person born in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But Sabra is also a name of a refugee camp in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Where Christian militia massacred hundreds of Palestinians while Israeli troops stood by 40 years ago.
Yeah. See the.
Guess when this character appeared in the comics?
Oh.
Yeah.
About 40 years ago.
Yep. And before in case you're wondering, oh, yes, they have brought up the Palestinian issue whenever she shows up in the comics. In fact, there's one particular instance where the Incredible Hulk basically is just tired of her shit because he ends up seeing a young Palestinian boy getting killed because of the conflict, and he just calls her out on it.
It says that right here. Let's see. Yeah, in a 1981 Hulk comic, for instance, Sabra shows little remorse over the death of a Palestinian boy
mm-hmm.
until the Hulk teaches her about human values.
Yep.
It's like, that's a weird thing to write that actually happened.
Yeah.
They are saying they have, you know, made adjustments, but are not going to say exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, again, this is going to be the Captain America movie where Falcon is Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's yeah, gonna be that whole thing to it as well.
Uh-huh.
If you thought people were done complaining about black people being the leads of roles that used to be white people.
Oh boy. Strap in, because
yeah.
There's people more trying to bring up scientific evidence about fictional beings.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, you want to be well realistic. Adjusted.
If you want to be realistic, the mermaids should look like manatees.
Yeah.
Because that's what mermaids are.
They're
based on.
Yeah.
People imagine kissing manatees.
Mm-hmm.
That's in that, what, Disenchantment?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Groening show?
Yep.
Literally, they start, like, making noises, and the one prince just goes and makes out with them and fucks them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You can see all about it in that movie Lighthouse. But that's another thing. We also got official trailer for Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah, this is a mini series with the like art style of the all the animated stuff they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Attack of the Clones, that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 6 original shorts streaming October 26th, telling various tales of, I guess, the famous Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So pretty simple to understand.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. And we also got a teaser trailer for season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. That's going to be fun to see, and also I don't want to see any more of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be out next year. That's all they're saying right now. 2023. Oh. For Disney Plus, but you know, things happened last season and that's gonna continue this season.
Mm-hmm.
Not to spoil anything for people that may not have caught up yet.
Yeah. And finally, last thing for the night, we got an official trailer for Marvel's Werewolf by Night. And
yeah, which is a really interesting thing. I never knew about this character, or characters or couple that are involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
But involves, like, you know, somebody that can turn into a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn this into what looks like a schlocky horror movie, black and white, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's a pretty neat thing to do in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they're calling this Marvel Studios Special Presentation, Werewolf by Night. And so, yeah, that'll be out fairly soon, October 7th on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that their generous way of calling it a filler?
Yeah.
Or is like, don't consider this a normal thing.
Yeah, this is very experimental for, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Marvel label, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Also, that would be kind of the way that some horror movie stuff would be presented in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the entire thing they're going for, making like a spooky Halloween thing that still involves Marvel character.
Yeah, I'm still in full wake me up when we have X-Men in the MCU mode.
Yeah, they're moving towards that.
Seems that way.
Yeah, I think these are specifically, at least in the comics, were mutants, but no idea how they're going to explain it just yet, but they've been hinting at the mutant stuff in everything they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to do that, do the X-Men stuff, so it's coming.
Honestly, it'd be really easy to introduce them to the MCU. Just have a post-credit scene get interrupted by Charles Xavier's address to the world from House of X number 6.
Yep. But, yeah, so...
And you have Deadpool be the only one that knows what happened.
Yeah. But, that is it. I do believe we have a show. Yep, we got ourselves a show, folks. Very nice. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you get a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. So, we are going to go ahead and wrap it up there. Thank you once again for joining us for another week of lunacy. If you liked what you heard, please tell your friends. Please tell your family. Please tell random strangers on the street that won't try to shiv you for, you know, I don't know. Maybe you have money in your pocket. Why do you have money in your pocket? What the hell's wrong with you? Nobody carries money anymore. That shit's filthy. But, anyway. Well, see you next week again. You know, if somebody doesn't ship you for money that you shouldn't be having. Good night, everybody.